Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's September the 27th, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana. Dave Dickey, of course, will be along in a moment with all the day's agricultural news, including word from USDA that it will write a new farm bill proposal. And it won't just be an extension of the current piece of legislation. And House Democrats have circulated a petition hoping to force the GOP to take up disaster aid before the November elections. Also, Drew Lerner will be here after the bottom of the hour. He's with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, and he'll help us take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December wheat at 424 and a quarter, up 1 1/4 today. The March futures 2 cents higher at 442 1/2. December corn 253 3/4, down 5 1/4. The March down a nickel at 267 3/4. And the May contract to 275 1/4, down 5 cents. Next year's December at 296 1/4, down 5 3/4 on the day. November soybeans down 4 1/4 cents at 542 1/2. The January's at 556 1/2. They're down 4 1/2 cents in the March, 4 lower at 567 1/2. Next year's November soybeans at 603 1/2, down 1 3/4 for the day. Soybean meal, October contract down $2 at $160.40 a ton, and the October bean oil at $23.69, down 0.07. Feeder cattle at the Mercantile Exchange, 17 1/2 cents lower at $115.67 1/2 a hundredweight. The October live cattle at $91 even, 15 cents lower. December futures down 25 at $90. 2 1/2 cents for the day. From the outside markets, crude oil jumping $1.99 at this hour, $63 even a barrel. CRB index at 304.41, that's up 370 for the day. And the Dow at 11,668 is down just about 1 point at the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good Wednesday afternoon to you, Paul.
Top of the day to you there.
Tell me about harvest in your area to begin with.
Well, I'm going to say we're just basically getting started in the soybean harvest, and the corn harvest, I'm going to say, is maybe 5 to 10% done. Yields are good in soybeans, and I'm going to say under the expectations of the USDA crop production report. When we call around the Midwest, I definitely think Indiana is going to come in quite a bit lower. The verdict out of Iowa is still up in the air because there's just not enough harvested. And I think it's going to be very hard to meet the big lofty expectations of the Illinois report. The big thing is there is some very good producing areas and probably the north central part of the state, but at the same time, there's some other areas that are just making the state average, and I think that that is the big surprise.
And then tell me about the corn market as you looked at Chicago today. It was a little bit lower, but it's been trading up near the top end of the recent ranges.
Well, of course, the big thing in the financial world today, of course, is the stock market, and it's it's now just a little lower, but it had the definite chance of getting a new all-time high. Crude oil prices are higher here by the tune of $1.99 a barrel. Our general expectations are is that the best thing for the corn market or any commodity market is a strong Dow Jones Industrial contract, and it's very, very strong. Crude oil prices are off the lofty highs, so that also means a pretty good strength for the U.S. economy. Our general feeling is that as we go on in time, you know, I think it's going to be very hard to get much of an LDP in corn. We think that the bean yields are going to be good to excellent, and when it's all said and done, the moisture levels are not coming down as fast as people expected, and this is going to be an additional cost item to put this corn away.
When you talk about this just a bit, and we think about LDP and not having LDP with corn at the current cash levels, that probably doesn't bode well, I wouldn't think, for more corn acres next spring.
Well, you know, we generally think that the farmer's probably got maybe up to a third of the corn crop sold. Last two or three years, he's gotten really lofty LDP payments, and this has helped finance a lot of inputs. The GRIP insurance policies also encouraged a lot of financing of a lot of new machinery and crop production for the following year. Our general expectations is that it probably means it's going to be a financial pinch for the farmer, and it isn't going to go well, as far as I'm concerned, is expanding or leapfrogging a lot of 3 to 5 million acres of corn production next year. The bean yields are coming in good. Wheat prices are fairly good. So there's other commodities that are going to compete for the total profit picture.
You've been our long-term bull in the corn market. Have you tempered your views about next spring and the future?
Well, to some extent, I think that, you know, it's easier to build, you know, an ethanol plant when it's $70 a barrel than $60 a barrel, but it does look like to me that we are stabilizing energy prices. You know, some people have even talked about $40 crude oil or $50 crude oil. I think it's somewhere in that 55 to 60 area from the sources, you know, that I have the most confidence in. One of the things that I do feel, though, is that, you know, it's very profitable to turn corn and soybeans into renewable energy, and the bottom line is that it is the major growth industry, not only to the farmer, but to the Midwest economy, bar none.
I guess the $64,000 question really is, how soon will the ethanol plants that are on the books but not producing or haven't broken ground, how soon will they really get into production? Is that where we're at in terms of how much more corn we need next year?
Well, good question. As we understand it, there's, what, 25 plants in Iowa and 20 more being on the drawing board at some point in time. I think there's a total of 102 ethanol plants in the United States. We are going to go up as far as corn consumption and corn usage next year, I think about 400 or 500 million bushels. Our general opinion is, Todd, that hey, this is the kind of demand that we've been dreaming about since I started in the commodity business, and
you
know, what more could we ask for? So it is the growth industry. We wish it every success in the world, because that's the real growth there. You know, it basically says that the last USDA farm program is a victory. It's working, and the state of agricultural success is probably as good as I've ever seen it in the United States ever.
This is what corn growers wanted when they got Congress to pass the legislation back in 1972, and I understand that that things are looking good for the ethanol industry. I guess my question, I'll repeat it just a bit, and you went down that road, but the question really is, how fast does the industry ramp up? Is it Or maybe is it slower now than what we thought it was going to ramp up? I'm just trying to figure out why the market hasn't rallied.
You know, I guess that there's I haven't heard of any cancellations of any new plants that were being proposed. I think that the big question is still how to get new plants built quickly, and you know, I think it's somewhere in the 15 to 20 new plants a year that are at least getting completed. To answer your question, is it easy to build a new ethanol plant with speculative money? And I'm going to say it probably is still.
All right. Anything to add before I let you go for the day?
Hey, have a safe harvest, and always nice talking to you, Todd.
You betcha. Thanks, Paul. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us on Wednesday afternoons right here on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Mike Sola says tonight across the two-state region, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers. Lows will range from around 40 in northwestern Illinois to 57 in southern Indiana. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies, a bit cooler. Scattered showers diminishing from west to east through the day. Highs will range tomorrow from 52 in northern Illinois to 63 in the south. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and cooler conditions tomorrow and Friday before a moderating trend sets in for the weekend. While a few showers may linger on Thursday, rainfall totals will be meager at best, says Mike. Relative humidity levels above 50% across the state of Illinois and Indiana on into Friday. Southern sections will be a little drier on Saturday. Humidity's between 40 and 50%. The wind speeds less than 10 miles an hour, and that'll be common across the two-state region through the weekend. The extended forecast after a sharply colder start to Friday, temperatures will move back to near average by Sunday and to well above average on Monday. Dave Dickey's here now with the news.
In agricultural news, USDA says it will write a farm bill for congressional consideration. USDA Secretary Mike Johanns yesterday said the agency will publish its proposal for the next farm bill in January. Johanns says expect the proposal to address what he calls inequities in farm subsidies. Johanns says five crops, corn, cotton, wheat, soybeans, and rice, get 90% of government subsidies, but only represent 21% of farm cash receipts. Meanwhile, new analysis from the Environmental Working Group shows about 21,000 producers have been collecting disaster aid checks every other year for the past two decades. That represents just 1% of farmers receiving disaster aid payments the last 20 years. But the payout to those 21,000 farmers was $2.8 billion, about 10% of all disaster aid payments since 1985. House Democrats are circulating a petition to force the GOP to bring up a disaster aid bill before Congress leaves Washington for the November elections. Since Monday, the petition contains at least 42 signatures, all from Democrats. At least 34 farm groups are supporting the petition. National Farmers Union President Tom Bias says it's hard to predict if the petition will be successful.
We're going to get a lot of signatures. We're going to get close. Whether or not we get enough may depend upon those members of the majority party willing to tell their House leadership, this really matters to us. This really matters to our constituents.
218 signatures are needed to require the House to consider the measure. An Iowa senator is concerned about how a final Environmental Protection Agency ruling regulates coarse particulate matter such as dust and soot. Republican Charles Grassley is calling for a public hearing and USDA study on how agriculture might be impacted. EPA issued its ruling this week. It lowers the amount of acceptable particulate matter by nearly 50%. The rule does not provide exemptions for agriculture or mining. EPA says under the new regulations, about 25 Corn Belt counties could be found in violation. A delegation from Chile became the first international visitors to go to Biotown, USA, northeast of Purdue University. Carlos Fernandez is Chile's director of innovation. Fernandez says Chile and the U.S. have much in common when it comes to renewable fuels.
In Chile, right now, we are facing, like in many other countries, some energy challenges. And certainly one of the options that we would like to explore is to produce energy, specifically bioethanol, from corn.
Biotown USA is replacing all oil-based fuel supplies with ethanol, biodiesel, and local waste to generate energy. The latest project will use Corn Stover to produce electricity for the community next summer. A Center for Agriculture and Rural Development study says removing U.S. ethanol trade tariffs and a 51-cent tax credit for refiners would increase world ethanol prices by nearly 23% and push down U.S. domestic ethanol prices by about 14%. The study says removing the tariffs and tax credits would result in nearly an 8% decline in U.S. ethanol production and about a 3% increase in consumption. The study predicted higher world ethanol prices would lead to a 5% increase in Brazilian sugarcane targeted for ethanol. And Japan may have its 29th case of mad cow disease. Tokyo officials say preliminary tests of a cow on Japan's northernmost island were positive. Final tests could be known by week's end. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all kinds of interesting information, including the latest USDA reports, along with the daily podcast for the Commodity Week program, as well as the Closing Market Report, the opening and the pre-opening market reports. It's all at willag.org.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
We're joined in studio now by Kevin Brooks, Extension Educator, Farm Business Management and Marketing from U of I, to talk a little bit about a recent trip that he and I took to Ukraine. Good afternoon to you, Kevin. Thanks for joining us here.
Good afternoon, Todd. It's good to be here.
This was an interesting trip, and most of the folks have heard something about it that have been listening to the program since July and made note that I made a couple-week trip to Ukraine. First, tell us, what was the reason behind the trip and that we've been reporting on for a while now?
Okay, well, the purpose of the trip was several-fold. One, there's the educational component where we're just out to learn what we can about developing markets in the world. Ukraine's agriculture is, of course, very similar, or has the potential to be very similar to what we have here in the Midwest. From an educator standpoint, there's a lot of cross-cultural training that goes on as our own communities are changing rapidly. So there's some good training there as well.
And then one of the reasons we have you on this afternoon, of course, you were on Focus 580 with me, myself, and two others that were on the trip this morning. If you'd like to go back and listen to that, just visit the WILL website at willl.uiuc.edu and check out the Focus 580 11 o'clock hour for this morning, and you can listen to that program. But one of the reasons we have you on this afternoon, again, is to talk about potentially future trips that maybe some of our listeners might be interested in going along. We're kind of checking just to see if there's people out there that are interested in making that trip to Ukraine next summer.
Yeah, we're just kind of throwing the rope out there, you might say, to see what kind of interest that there is in terms of experiencing a culture that is vastly different, a developing agricultural country, an opportunity to look inside what was part of the former Soviet Union. Just a lot of interest there and opportunities to kind of get behind the scenes a little bit, more than what you would see on a typical tour, but get to know at the grassroots level what's going on, what the people are like, and agriculture is like there.
This is not a trip that's for the faint of heart.
No, not at all. It's a different world in terms of the places we will be staying. These will not be AAA. They will be reasonably comfortable. But it is definitely not going to be a AAA type of thing. Communication back to the United States would be somewhat difficult as well, although with cell phones and stuff, that all that technology is currently improving. But the vehicles and such, we'll try to get a bus that will get us from place to place, but at times we're going to be in some pretty out-of-the-way places, step back in time, you might say.
So what kind of cost might we be looking at? And I know it's just an estimated range at this point.
That's really hard to say at this point, and I kind of hate throwing a figure out there, but with airfare, places to stay and such, I guess my target goal would be somewhere, hopefully no more than $3,500 and possibly less. But again, that's just kind of up in the air right now. We're just throwing things out and putting together things as we speak.
And so the bottom line is that we're interested in leading a crew to Ukraine. And if you're a listener that might like to go, you can drop me a line here at the radio station. Just call 333-0850. And they'll send you on to me, or you can go on our website at willag.org and just send me a note. By hitting subscribe to the newsletter or finding me on that webpage. My email address is there as well. It's tgleason@uiuc.edu. We're looking maybe at next summer sometime, but really we're just exploring the possibilities at this point, wanting to know if there's enough people out there that would be interested in making a trip to Ukraine, mostly as a tour to see what agriculture is like there, if you've never been. And don't be thinking that you'll be riding along in luxury, because you won't. I guarantee it. You might get a few bed bug bites along the way, necessarily a few mosquito bites, I'm quite certain. You could be offered lots of interesting things to eat, too. Kevin, we appreciate you being with us today.
Okay, thank you, Todd.
Kevin Brooks is a farm business management and marketing specialist for University of Illinois Extension, joining us here on the Closing Market Report this afternoon. Time now to check in on the cash grain market. Kay Whitlock with us from Terre Haute, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Kay.
Good afternoon to you, Todd.
Okay, we need to know, how's harvest going there in your part of the world?
Just kind of getting started, Todd. We had some beans come in a couple of weeks ago, the real, real early beans. But yesterday and today, they're cutting like crazy trying to beat this rain coming in here. So we've got a smattering of beans and a smattering of corn. And, of course, a lot of them are out in corn, and it's going to the bin. But, yeah, we've had a little come in the elevator.
And how's the basis holding up?
Basis has slipped about 3 to 4 cents in beans today. It's going away real quickly. For spot trains, we've probably backed off maybe 3 or 4 cents, nothing drastic. So, you know, as long as the basis stays the way it is, we'll probably have this premium up front. But from what I understand, corn's getting a little bit expensive, and ocean freight's gone up, so China, I guess, is putting some more out. So maybe our exports will back off a little bit. But we saw the board back off today. We just got into some new territory and ran into some resistance, and down it went.
Historically, you've been mostly the most cautious analyst we have on the air. How do you feel about corn and soybean direction over the through the springtime? And if you've got cautionary notes, or if you think it's a good idea that this thing's going to go higher?
Well, there's no doubt the whole world is bullish on corn, you know, next year, and sometimes that's kind of a dangerous position to be in. And there's all kinds of talk, pros and cons, about the ethanol, and there's no doubt it's going to be a boon, you know, to the farm community next year. But I'm just a little cautious. There's a lot of emotion in this market. And once we get the combines in the field and this basis goes away, this board's going to go down, maybe not as low as what we thought. We were thinking $1.80 cash corn, but it may just hover around loan rate. But I'm still very cautious, Todd.
And your bids for the day are?
All right, cash corn is 237, cash beans are 515, and 07 wheat is 376.
We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. In about 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather with meteorologist Drew Lerner. Your regional newscast comes up next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Proponents of a lawsuit seeking reparations from companies that allegedly benefited from slavery are back in federal court pleading their case today. A federal judge previously dismissed the lawsuit, saying the plaintiffs failed to show a link between themselves and the 17 corporations named as defendants. Attorneys appealed the decision to the U.S. Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago. They say if their arguments are rejected again, they'll go to the U.S. Supreme Court. Indiana Bureau of Motor Vehicles Commissioner Joel Silverman will step down October 16th. Silverman angered many lawmakers, local officials, and ordinary citizens by closing more than 20 license branches and completing a computer overhaul that resulted in weeks of problems. His resignation was among four changes in leadership at executive agencies announced today by Governor Mitch Daniels' office. The University of Illinois Law School building will be the site for a federal hearing next month on the Unit 4 school's consent decree. Judge Joseph Billy McDade will hear an update from Champaign school officials about their plans for meeting terms of the agreement for removing racial disparities from the classroom, and the plaintiffs in the case will give their response. The hearing is set for October 19th at the U of I Law School Auditorium. Urbana Alderman Charlie Smythe says cell phones, even hands-free cell phones, are too much of a distraction for drivers. Smythe is proposing a ban on using cell phones while driving in Urbana, and unlike Chicago's cell phone ban, he wants to include hands-free phones as well. Smythe's proposal comes after cyclist Matt Wilhelm was struck and killed east of the city earlier this month by a motorist using a cell phone. Two men and two women ranging in age from 16 to 22 years old have been arrested for a deadly Decatur shooting. 19-year-old Jeremiah McClenn was shot once at the base of his skull while standing outside a car and talking to a group of girls September 7th. McDonald's announced today it's raising its annual dividend 49%. The distribution of $1 up from 67 cents will be paid December 1st to shareholders of record on November 15th. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Information Advantage on WILL. Normally on a Wednesday afternoon, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated, the senior agricultural meteorologist, would join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast for the day. Unfortunately, Drew is not available this afternoon. We do have Mike Sulla's forecast for the two-state region. He says tonight, mostly cloudy skies, a few scattered showers. Lows will range from around 40 in northwestern Illinois to 57 in southern Indiana. Tomorrow, Mike says, mostly cloudy and cooler, scattered showers diminishing from west to east and throughout the day. Highs will range from 52 in northern Illinois to 63 in the south, and that's for tomorrow. Also tomorrow, mostly cloudy, cooler conditions right on through tomorrow and Friday before moderating trends set in for the weekend. While a few showers may linger on Thursday, rainfall totals will be meager at best. Relative humidity levels will be about 50% or above across the state of Illinois and Indiana on Friday. Southern sections will be a little drier on Saturday. Humidity is between 40 and 50%, awfully good for drying. Wind speeds, though, pretty low at 10 miles an hour, and that'll be common across the two-state region through the weekend. The extended forecast highlights for the two states after a sharply colder start to Friday. Temperatures will move back to near average, that by Sunday, and well above average on Monday. Precip will be rather limited with a chance for showers and thunderstorms Saturday, then a slight chance for more light precipitation Tuesday of next week. Amounts at most locations should remain under a quarter of an inch for the next week or so.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You've been listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program, and Commodity Week, which you can hear at 11:30 a.m. Saturday mornings each and every week. It's our weekly analysis of what's been happening in agriculture. You can also pick that program and the Closing Market Report, as well as the pre-opening and opening market reports, up off our website at WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. Please visit there and check in on our website for all of the latest information from the USDA and a recap of the day's markets and weather. We're here to serve you, and we hope it do well. If not, give us a call at 217-333-0850. Tell us how we can improve the service. Thanks much for listening this afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great and a very safe afternoon.